This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Trenkel, CIO at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. Tony, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, John. How are you?
I think I messed up your title. Why don't you tell the audience exactly what your title is so we can proceed with this conversation?
Okay, well, at CMS, I wear two hats. One is the Chief Information Officer, and I'm also the Director of the Office of Information Services.
Well, great. That's a lot of responsibility. I heard Tony speak at an AFC event about a month ago, and I was sitting back there saying, boy, that's the last job in the world I'd want. I mean, he's got so much change to worry about, and now healthcare IT is in the front page of the Washington Post, the New York Times. It's a very difficult position to be in. Maybe for the benefit of our audience, you can tell us a little bit about your background and how you wound up at CMS.
Yeah, well, John, I have a fairly eclectic background. My educational background is economics and business, but when I was a senior in college, I decided to go into a co-op program, and I got a job at NASA working in the telecommunications area, which really kind of got me into the technology area. And after I left NASA, I worked for several telecommunications companies and then came to work at the General Services Administration as a telecommunications analyst. And from there, I moved into a lot of IT-related work, IT policy. I worked with Energy Star Computers. I worked with Section 508 accessibility. And then I moved into electronic commerce when it became big about 15 years ago. So at GSA, I became the head of the Office of Electronic Commerce. And then I moved from GSA to the Social Security Administration, where I managed our electronic services area, where we're beginning to provide internet online applications for beneficiaries. So after being at Social Security for several years, then I moved over to CMS, where I took over the Office of eHealth Standards and Services and worked on a lot of things related to the HIPAA standards for administrative simplification.
Around 2005, you started CMS, right?
Right. I left SSA in 2005 and have been at CMS since the March of 2005. So after being in the Office of eHealth Standards and Services for a number of years, I was also the senior official for privacy, so I got a lot of things related to that. Then, of course, high tech came, and I was responsible for the regulations related to high tech with HIT and also the initial implementation. And then about a year and a half ago, Michelle Snyder, who's the Deputy Chief Operating Officer, asked me to move over and take the job of CIO and Director of the Office of Information Services. And then Julie Bond, who was the previous director, moved over to the Innovation Center.
Interesting. Yes, I think you're pretty humble, too. In 2010, you got an award from HIMSS for federal leadership. Yeah, now there's some listeners that go, HIMSS, what's that, something in church? No. In healthcare IT, HIMSS is the big deal. You know, there's a conference going on right now. 30,000 people are in Las Vegas talking about healthcare IT. And we were lucky enough to have Tony in the studio here. He is he's very well known in this area, and to get a HIMSS award for federal leadership, I mean, it's very difficult, especially the problems that Tony's handled haven't been exactly easy, have they? I mean, you walk into this and they go, oh, by the way, this is going to be a very initiative that's going to be very, very important in our industry, and all kinds of information about it coming out. At FCA, I just want to structure this interview maybe with a lot of the comments you made about FCA. I thought it was kind of interesting. You talked about siloed business units. Tell us more about that and how that can either help or hurt the way you want to move through this information technology.
Sure, John. One of the areas I mentioned in FCA was that we were really working towards enterprise shared services. And what I mean by that, I mean looking at both from an IT and a business side, what are some services that we can use across multiple applications? For example, identity management. Right now at CMS, we have a number of identity management systems for providers to utilize when they come to the agency. And the problem that occurs when you have what we call, what I called siloed business units, is the fact that we build systems and business applications very much related to the actual business area, which has its advantages. But the disadvantage of that is when you really begin to look from an enterprise perspective at economies of scale and efficiencies and frankly more flexibility, and in an area of declining or static budgets, building programmatically facing applications is not something that is as easy to do anymore because you're likely to run out of funding to continue to support that. So what we've been trying to do over the last year that I've been in the job, and even before that, is really what are some applications both on the IT side and on the business side. So for the business side, you might look at things like help desks, for example. And how can we begin to look at ways to kind of consolidate and create enterprise-wide applications that can be used for multiple programs? And I like to say that the Affordable Care Act, or health reform, as people like to call it, has allowed us the opportunity to do some of that. Because in my years in government, I found that government change is usually evolution followed by periods of revolution. And what you like to do is when you face a period of revolution like we've had with health reform, if there's things that you need to change, you can utilize the political will and the funding that comes with it to make changes. So we've really tried to tie the shared services to doing health reform because we found if we continued doing it in a programmatic way, we didn't have the resources, the funding, or frankly the time to do that. So what we've been trying to do since health reform passed is really focus on, creating this foundation of shared services that we can then use for things like accountable care organizations, the insurance exchanges, and other areas. And then in the second phase, really look at what are we doing today outside of health reform that we can then use these services to also migrate existing applications.
Tony, obviously you're an experienced executive, and I think you can, you have an ability to see things from a unique perspective because you've been in many different areas. And one concept that keeps coming up, I think, is a concept of sustainability. I mean, over the years, you've seen, well, here's an initiative, and here's another initiative, and here's another initiative, and maybe start. And every, let's say, administration may have different pushes. But I think from your perspective, it's difficult to maintain this for more than 2 or 3 years at one time, isn't it? I mean, sustainability is key here.
Yeah, I think the issue we run into with sustainability is that obviously you have people with very different political priorities, I would say, and things such as IT get swept up in that because of the fact that there's different priorities that require different IT support. The advantage of working in the health reform area, though, is a lot of what we're doing here in terms of making data more accessible, building shared services, doing other types of efficiency and effectiveness ways of using IT are things that obviously get a lot of interest from both parties. Now, the challenge is, of course, is the budget process, and I think you remember mentioning creating something that's budget bulletproof, because part of the problem with working in the government is much of our budget is already taken up by operational and maintenance type of work. So freeing up money for new initiatives is very difficult. So we've been looking at various ways to get there, but in CMS it's a challenge because we have a large number of different budget streams, many of which are tied to specific programs. So getting some of that budget freed up to support enterprise IT work has been a challenge.
I like to read blogs and try to keep up with things. And reading a blog here from a person at HHS. Her name is Adi Atienza. She's a PhD, Senior Health Technology Advisor. And that's what she talks about, sustainability with funding, with partnerships, and with policy. And so what she's saying, in effect, is the best laid plans of mice and men can frequently go astray, not through their wish or desire, but because they don't have these practical concepts like you're talking about, like vulnerable budgets. I mean, if there's an initiative that is a valid initiative and wants to go forward, it doesn't mean that it can't get blocked somewhere after the incipient stages.
And that's right. And part of the challenge I face is not just a budget challenge, but it's a cultural challenge, because we have to learn how to do things smarter and more effectively, and also work more closely with the business community as well.
Tony, we're going to have to take a quick break. We come back, talk more about healthcare IT and CMS and some of the challenges you see ahead. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tony Trankel, CIO at CMS.
Facing a new day, delivering services efficiently, improving citizens' lives, Booz Allen Hamilton supports the most important challenges of government, from defense and economic security to health and cyber solutions. Booz Allen strategy and technology consultants partner with clients to deliver results that endure. Whether managing today's issues or looking beyond the horizon, clients can count on Booz Allen to help them be ready for what's next. BoozAllen.com/ready for what's next. Powered by the latest second-generation Intel Xeon processors, new HP ProLiant G7 servers are a perfect high-speed solution for lowering costs, improving utilization, and reducing server sprawl. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how together they can power your data center into the future. Talk to GovConnection's experienced federal sales team, where service and commitment to the customer are priority one. Call 800-800-0019 today.
Walk MS. Every step matters, every dollar counts, and every person makes a difference. Hi, this is Sinead Simpson from ABC7. Please join me in the movement to end MS forever at Walk MS this April. Support the National Multiple Sclerosis Society and walk to create a world free of MS. Register for one of six sites around the DC area at msnu.org. That's msandyou.org.
Presented by Booz Allen Hamilton.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does three decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning, NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPInc.com. That's NITPInc.com for more information.
Attention federal managers. The Federal Managers Association invites all federal managers, supervisors, and executives to its National Management Training Seminar, Federal Managers Doing More with Less, on Tuesday, March 13th. Federal managers will gather in Arlington, Virginia for practical presentations, including 7 quick fixes for enhancing performance, improving employee productivity and well-being, and decisively addressing conduct-related issues. For more details, visit fedmanagers.org. That's fedmanagers.org.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tony Trankel, CIO at CMS. You know, if you look at general trends for 2012, from Gartner or any of these people who like to pontificate, they talk about mobile and cloud and social media and all kinds of different things like that. I'm sure that has to impact your office there. And let's take this concept of mobile. Where do you see mobile heading? And especially you've worked in the area of security. When I think of mobile and security, I don't know how, and in healthcare records especially, this gets to be a very dangerous topic, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, it's something that I'm very interested in. I think the challenge is moving towards mobility in a way that maximizes its advantages without dealing with without having to worry as much about the security. I guess the way I'd put it is it's a challenge to move ahead in mobility in a way that maximizes the way we utilize it, but at the same time moving in a way where we deal with the security issues, because you're right, we're dealing with personal health data, other types of sensitive information, but at the same time, the flexibility and the potential in mobile computing, especially for people who work a lot in the field. We have a number of people in our regional area that are very interested in mobile technology and iPads and other things, so they can go right out and work in the community and be able to utilize the not only the applications, but also the flexibility that mobile computing and the apps associated with allow you to do. It's truly an amazing world that we're moving towards. And the balance, of course, we have is dealing with the current infrastructure while at the same time trying to move towards giving people the usability they want and need.
You know, I'm lucky enough to teach a course at a local school here, and my little company just had a new website released. And so I emailed two of my students and said, well, take a look. And one student, Leslie, she emailed me back. She said, well, I first looked at it on my iPhone. That's the first thing she did.
Exactly.
The very first thing on my iPhone, and guess what? You've got a flash thing there, and it looks terrible. And she said, oh, by the way, I had to scroll way over here to see this. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I would ask anyone over 30 that question, they may use a desktop or a notebook. But anyone under 30, I think that's the first thing they'll do. They get out their iPhone. So this is a challenge for not only me, but you and the healthcare IT community, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've got kids in their 20s, so I'm certainly familiar with how different generations work. But the challenge we have from the government is serving a variety of people with very different technology needs and wants. And I've seen this over the last 15 years. I mean, we went from, when I was at SSA, we went from field offices to the 800 number to the beginning of web applications. Mm-hmm. Now we're moving into things such as social media, Twitter, other types of ways of communicating with people. It was interesting, a few months ago, I was on a panel with somebody from the Department of Agriculture's Food and Nutrition Service, and he was talking about how they work with people on food stamps. And one of the things he mentioned was that a lot of people on food stamps have cell phones, and they deal with them that way rather than some of the more traditional media, because they can realize that. But at the same point, I've got people like my mother, who's in her 80s, and other beneficiaries that obviously don't use the social media, don't use even the website, or even many of them don't even use email. But that, of course, that model's changing. But you have to kind of be able, from an IT perspective, to support a multiple variety of information channels.
So that is your challenge. I mean, not only keeping up with changes in technology, what's the latest iPad? However, you have to understand that, you know, there are thousands of people that are working at CMS. You could have people that are my age, people in their 20s, and it may be, I mean, human nature for people to resist change.
Absolutely. I think resistance to change is something that we all face even people of any age. I think the important thing with technology is working with people who could benefit from to show them the advantages of it. I think you've seen with the various technologies that are out there today and as they evolve, Facebook started out mainly with people in their 20s. Now a large number of your Facebook users are in their 50s and beyond. Same with email and other earlier applications. So I think the challenge with people who are resistant to change is just showing them how it works and supporting what they do every day, whether it's part of their job or as a beneficiary, how they interact with a federal agency.
Especially when you have mandates to move services to a more shared approach, to move services to the cloud, and at the same time, make sure they're secure and, by the way, do it with less money. I mean, this is almost a push and pull that very challenging in many ways.
It's very challenging, but on the other hand, it's very stimulating. We have a lot of people with CMS who are very dedicated to the mission that CMS has of serving various populations, of working with various stakeholders in the healthcare industry. And we see technology as an advantage that can really allow us to do our work better, smarter, more quickly, more agile. So I think there's a lot of advantages, even though there are, as you say, a lot of challenges.
You know, at the FCA conference, you talked about processes and discipline and foundation for change. Would you like to expand a little bit on that, on how you work with change in your agency?
Sure. I mean, one of the things is you do have to put processes in place to make sure that certain disciplines are followed, whether it's a technical architecture or whether it's the way you do in investment strategies, whether it's the way you work through security and privacy concerns. The key is not to let the processes rule the production. The key is not to get, as I say, feed the monster. It's really to make sure that they support the changes you're doing. So part of what we're doing with these shared services is I have my folks working very closely with the business community on what we're calling project scope agreements. So we lay out in this agreement exactly what type of services we're going to provide, how it will support the work they're doing, and they also then tie it to what the business applications they want to support. So both sides come in with a common set of reference, and if the scope changes or if there's a timeline change, then we revise the scope agreement. So we're just really beginning that at CMS. We haven't done that before, but it's a way of not only enforcing discipline but putting everybody on the same page, because part of the challenge with change is getting everybody on the same baseline and understanding what certain changes mean, because I find a lot of what we have problems with is not the technology, but it's how we communicate.
Earlier in the interview, you talked about agile. You used that word, agile. And it looks like this scope agreement is, guess what? It looks like it's an agile agreement, because you said it. You said, well, when things change, Buster, guess what? We're going to have to change this agreement, aren't we?
Right. And one of the ways we've looked at the use of agile systems development is really taking some of the new areas with very tight timeline, like the innovation center, like the insurance exchanges, and really working very closely with the business community, almost being embedded in the business community. So the IT folks and the business folks are working side by side on requirements definition and working across a variety of applications to produce quicker results. And part of that is, like I said, is getting on the same page. And these project scope agreements, requirements agreements, they're simple things, but they're very difficult to execute at times because people come in with very different ideas. And as we work closer together, I mean, one of the challenges of technology on the business side is for us to understand the business requirements. But on the business side, they need to understand what new changes in technology can really help them in terms of enhancing how they do their business.
You know, that's part of the whole agile process. I want to take and apply this agile process, this flexible thinking, to your data centers. You know, at FCA, you said there's, listen to this, 175 data centers. I mean, that's a whole lot to manage, isn't it?
Well, I think the term data center is a term maybe we should identify what I really mean by that a little bit, because a lot of these data centers are really hosting centers for data that we have with researchers, with private organizations that work with us on fraud and abuse and certainly other organizations that need our data for various applications. So we have several large data centers, but then we have a number of more programmatically focused, I'd call them almost data repositories.
Let's take up that little concept about data management and Agile and take a little quick break there and come back. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Trankel, who is the CIO at CMS.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
My advice to you, until they upgrade the system, simply turn off PhotoStream on your iPhone the next time you're in Vegas, and then it doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
Or else, change your Vegas behavior, or else, don't take pictures while you're in Vegas. So now, once you've deleted all the photos in the PhotoStream, you've got to then go to the camera roll and delete those individuals.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
At Kaiser Permanente, we carefully select our doctors so you can carefully select your doctors. Our hiring process is so selective, only 1 in 10 doctors who apply make the cut. Yes, we're uber picky. Probably have a little perfectionism complex in there, but by putting our doctors under the microscope, we've discovered some of the greatest medical minds in their fields, and that's led to an even greater medical breakthrough. Drumroll, please. Award-winning care. We've received many of the highest possible rankings in member satisfaction, patient safety, overall quality of care, and more. But we're not the only ones reaping the rewards. Because we carefully select our doctors, you have great doctors to choose from. And with all those great doctors, you think it'd be easy. But try choosing just one for your primary care doctor. We'll let you create your own highly selective process for that. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we're here to help you thrive. Visit us at kp.org.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life in Boron.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. AckermanSecurity.com.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
A year ago, Madame Tussauds Wax Museum opened its presidential gallery here in Washington. They've got every president on display from George Washington to Barack Obama, and it's really a unique, interactive type of exhibit, pretty much unique in the country from what I can tell. They're celebrating the first anniversary by providing Recreation News readers with $5 off of admission. You can check the discount coupon on page 7 of the March issue.
What other historical activities do you have for us?
Down at the Jamestown Settlement near Williamsburg, they've got a great one coming up. March 17th and 18th is the Military Through the Ages weekend down there. You'll see reenactors from every era, basically from the knights of the Middle Ages right on up to the modern military. Find out more about all of that on page 20 in the March Recreation News and get a rundown on all the activities related to it.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Tony Trenkel, CIO from the CMS. We're talking about one of the 10,000 problems that Tony has to juggle every single day, and including information security and new technology and data centers. And a lot of my listeners keep up with this by reading blogs. And I'll be talking about our interview in my blog, which is a Tech Tuesday blog. Are there blogs that you follow, Tony, or maybe one you can recommend for our listeners to keep up with this?
Well, John, I look at a lot of different websites and related blogs with the sites. When I was in the more in the HIT area in my previous job, I read John Halamka's blog and a number of other health IT blogs. Now that I'm in the systems and IT world, I look at blogs that are tied to Federal Computer Week, Government Computer News, PC Week, Computer World, there's so many of them. And then of course I still keep up with the regular HIT and healthcare related. We actually have a local media, I wouldn't call it a blog, but they have a synopsis of the news that they send out every morning that gives us access to a lot of different, and I read the BNA news that comes out every day, the Kaiser, and so I do go to a variety of sites and blogs to kind of, from a healthcare, from an IT, and from an HIT perspective, that kind of keep me up to date.
I can remember years ago when I would I'd get information technology magazines, and I would keep them in my bag until I read them.
Right, exactly.
And when I ran through them away, and I'd say, no, I have to read this, so I'd carry it around until I read it. Now it's a matter of what blogs on your checklist to keep up with what's going on.
That's exactly right. I've gotten away from magazines, certainly work-related magazines for the most part, and I just rely on information I get either sent to me each day or ones that I go out and take a look at.
CMS has what they call an enterprise business group.
Right.
And the challenge, I think, in that group is to balance transformational plans versus short-term. I mean, everyone wants to get something done the short-term, but then there's this long-term, and the push and pull with the budget and long-term goals and funding and partnerships. Do you work with this group, or what kind of suggestion can you have for listeners who maybe are in this position where they pushed and pulled between short-term, long-term needs?
Yeah, absolutely. We work with them very closely. In fact, I was involved in them getting off the ground because from our perspective, that type of group is critical. One of the challenges we face at CMS is we have a number of business components that have very specific programmatic requirements are very tight deadlines, so it's very hard for someone on the business side to look from an enterprise view when they're involved in something that if they don't make the deadline, they'll be taken to task about it because of the fact that it's something that's a critical priority either for Congress or the administration or both. So I think having a group like this that can serve as an honest broker and work with us in terms of looking across the enterprise at more of a longer term and more of a an enterprise view as opposed to a programmatic and functional view is something that we need. To certainly from an IT side, where we have to look across the enterprise, but much of the time with us coming into the business side, translating from an IT perspective to a business perspective and vice versa becomes a challenge. So having this group to work with and help us in terms of identifying needs and support has been very critical over the past year with us in helping launch our shared services work.
I'm sure that the Enterprise Business Group is looking at a topic that is very important today called electronic health records. And I've waited 20 minutes to use that phrase. I know it's at the top of everyone's tongue who's listening. There's a big conference going on in Las Vegas, the HIMSS conference. We talked about the award you got from them, and EHR is probably tattooed on their little arms of everyone in that conference, all 30,000 people. It's a hot topic. Maybe you can explain to our an audience what exactly an electronic health record is and what position it's at now at CMS and where you see this whole transition of electronic health records.
Well, electronic health records have been around for a number of years, but really, and what they are is they provide a record of various information related to patient care, and they come in a variety of forms. And one of the challenges we've had over the past couple of years is with the passage of HITECH, there was an incentive program that really pushed the provider community, both in Medicare and Medicaid, to begin utilizing electronic health record technology in a meaningful way. So what that was saying was not just to purchase the electronic health record technology or the EHR, but also begin to utilize it in ways that improves healthcare, provides better information to the beneficiary or the patient, to really link together various information in a way that's protects privacy and security, but also allows for more meaningful and effective information to flow as part of care coordination.
That's the hot button word, isn't it? Meaningful use. And I'm sure there are physicians that can come in the air here and argue for hours what meaningful use, and they do. I mean, it's a very difficult subject to figure out. And I think it's slowly becoming defined more and more. And it's very important, because what's happening now is there are incentives now for private health care plans to comply with the EHR records in order to get paid. And there's specific financial incentives to do that, aren't there?
Yes, and I think the challenge with meaningful use that was certainly brought to home with healthcare reform is how do you really utilize EHRs and the technology and the use of EHRs to support health reform? So looking at ways to improve care coordination, looking at ways to provide better and more effective data, looking at ways to improve how a provider does their work, tied to, you know, quality improvements, tied to pay reform. Those are the challenges. And dealing with meaningful use has been a particular challenge over the past couple of years, because health reform came in after meaningful use. So how do you tailor that to support health reform, but at the same time you have multiple groups who are very interested in using meaningful use to make changes in healthcare that they see as particularly important from their perspective?
Now, when you get a physician in the room, you talk about meaningful use, that's it's a hot button for them, and it means a very specific thing. Now, in my world of software development, meaningful use means making sure data is secure and it can be used efficiently, and maybe making a transition to the cloud. And this is a big surge, and there may be some listeners who look at it in a very easy way and say, well, move to the cloud, save money. I think many of our listeners are experiencing this move, maybe more painful than they thought, maybe more expensive than they thought, and it may not be as easy a transition. In fact, it may be not as effective as billed. What do you think about moving to the cloud?
Well, I think the cloud offers a lot of flexibility, offers a lot of possibilities for cost reduction. Certainly, it moves you to more of a service-oriented model, and it moves you away from a capital expenditure model to more of an operational expenses model. So in theory, I think there's a lot of great potential for the cloud. We've certainly been testing it in a number of applications at CMS. The challenge is looking at the cloud from a privacy and security perspective, which is, you know, you have multiple types of clouds. You have public clouds, private clouds, hybrid clouds. The challenge is, what is the one that makes most sense from a business application, and how can you meet your needs through that, but at the same time realize the advantages that cloud technology gives you? So that's one of the things we've been looking at over the past several years at CMS, particularly in the last year.
It circles back to the Enterprise Business Group saying, okay, what's the business model for this cloud? Is it effective? And it goes back to these business guys again. It's interesting how it circles back many ways to that top of the pyramid there. We're going to take a quick break here. We come back, talk more about CMS and maybe more about security and mobile devices, and ask Tony some questions about his technology usage and find out if he's really a card-carrying nerd or not. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tony Trankel, CIO at CMS.
Are you a civilian employee of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, or the Department of State? You may be eligible for term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America. Term life insurance helps provide security for your family in case something happens to you. It's money to pay your mortgage or your children's college expenses, or help ensure your spouse can retire in comfort. GEBA's group life plan offers affordable rates with coverage amounts up to $600,000. Civilian employees of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, or the Department of State. Don't let these exclusive benefits pass you by. Start planning today and get peace of mind for your family and protection for their future. Visit GEBA.com/termlife to learn more or to download an enrollment form. That's GEBA.com/termlife. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. Contract series 83500.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
My family struggled, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
Dude, check out my new Pioneer DEH44 car stereo with built-in HD radio technology and new HD2 HD3 channels.
HD2 HD3 channels?
Get with it, man. HD2 HD3 channels are all these new free digital radio channels.
How do I listen to them?
With the new Pioneer DEH44 HD radio receiver. It's only $120 at Walmart.
Walmart? That's cool.
Yeah, just go to hdradio.com and check out the station guide. They're adding new channels all the time.
Learn about HD radio technology at hdradio.com. More radio, more value.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The Federal IT Challenge is a series exploring the administration's aim to fundamentally change how the federal government purchases and uses IT, and a discussion around one of the biggest goals, reducing the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. During the show, Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Federal Chief Cloud Executive for VMware, commented,
"Virtualization abstracts the operating system and the data from the device. It provides a certain amount of agility and flexibility from a technological standpoint. Using virtualization and virtual desktop infrastructure to liberate the data from the endpoint device and bring it into the private cloud, that's key. The data in particular, it provides so much more flexibility for multiple devices to be mobile and geographically disparate and still have access to that data."
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.
As cybersecurity threats intensify, federal agencies are reviewing their technology management framework, looking towards increased reliance on continuous monitoring and collaboration. Join AFSEA Bethesda on March 23rd at the Bethesda North Marriott as a panel of chief information security officers from DOT, DOJ, and DOE share their thoughts on how collaborative initiatives will redefine the security spectrum in the coming year. Register today at afseabethesda.org/marbreakfast.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Tony Trankel, CIO at CMS, talking about all kinds of different topics, talking about security, and that's a topic I like to delve into. But first of all, there are some listeners who are listening. They listen to my interviews and they go, well, geez, you know, this guy, you know, what kind of a technology background does he really have? Is he really an economist or really one of us? And so I have this silly little interview here, questions. I'm going to ask you these questions here. We'll see where you stand here, Tony. So you're your first computer, remember?
It was probably in the late 80s I bought a Gateway computer, and I started hooking up to CompuServe before the internet was, before the web was around.
Okay. I remember CompuServe. And you're your first cell phone.
Oh, that was a bit later. It was probably within the last 10 years or so. I was actually using cell phones at work before I had one at home, because I mainly utilized them for voice back then before you got into really the applications.
Yeah, some, I guess, had them in the trunk of their car. That's where they were. Do you have a Twitter feed?
No, I don't at this point. I do look at some of the Twitter information that comes through, and I'm very interested in it, because one of the things I've found is it provides some real-time feedback that you don't get from other sources. So I intend to look into it a lot more in the next few months.
And you don't have a blog, but it looks like an incipient website or blog coming up for you. Is that right?
Yeah, I've advised people on their blogs. I know a number of people have blogs, but I've been a holdout. But now we're redoing our internal website, and one of the ways I think will be helpful to communicate people is by having a blog to kind of baseline people and help them learn more about what we do.
People might, what does Tony want me to do here? I mean, it's a good way to communicate. Well, here's what Tony wants, you know?
Exactly.
Here's from the horse's mouth. This is what he wants me to do here. Do you use any personal online backup, any services like that?
Yeah, I do use, Intuit has a online backup that I utilize for all my financial information.
I assume you have a smartphone?
Yeah, I've got a, just bought the Apple 4S just a few months ago, and I love
trendy.
It.
Very trendy. Got points there.
Yeah, I have dozens of apps on it, and it's been great.
Great. Do you have a tablet device?
I do. I use a Nook Color. I've had it a little less than a year now, and I enjoy
a
that
Nook
one as
wow,
well.
Wow, that's interesting. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
Mainly LinkedIn. I do a little bit on Facebook, mainly to keep up with my kids, but LinkedIn has been the main business
too.
One.
And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
I read both. I read multiple books at the same time, but I read both electronic and paper. But the last one I did read was paper. I mainly read magazines electronically, like things like Popular Science and other types of magazines I found easy to read.
I read paper books. That's old-fashioned I am, but that's great. Just to kind of up close and personal with Tony. But there are thousands of people who are at CMS, and maybe that's why people are encouraging you to blog, because they just want, how does Tony want me to handle this? You know what I mean? And if you can give some, here's a mistake I made 5 years ago. Don't do this mistake, because you've seen a lot of bad things happen, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think blogging is an effective way to communicate if it's used correctly. My concern with blogs has always been to utilize it to share information, not to share, you know, necessarily my personal opinions about things, but certainly.
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous. I had a bagel for breakfast. No one cares about that. You know, they care what your thoughts are about security. And that's why I'm going to ask you about security. When I think of people walking around offices or hospitals with mobile devices, and I put myself in the role of a listener. So it's my job to make sure my division at CMS is secure. Okay, so John Gilroy Wallace is in with an iPad and says, well, guess what? I'm going to use this iPad and make it work.
Right.
I mean, these are challenges that most of my listeners have. What kind of guidelines can you give them for securing mobile devices? Well, what have you seen happen? What do you think works?
Well, we're still working on that that whole issue, so I can't give any specifics. But my main issue with security is really follow the data. And I think, we've been given specific guidelines, regulations, and legislation from the security standpoint. Of course, FISMA is the big one in the federal government, but the HIPAA privacy and security regulations that came out of the HHS that apply to the whole industry are very specific in terms of protected healthcare information. And those are the type of things I look at, is how do you protect the data? how do you ensure that it doesn't get compromised, particularly as we move to the cloud and you're going to have multiple platforms accessing the same data, then you become it becomes more and more difficult in some ways, but in other ways easier because you can centralize your security on the cloud. And if we can move towards more data center consolidation, that will also help us in terms of managing security better. But mobile devices are a challenge because they do provide another opportunity for people to get access to information, much as you've heard with the, you know, the famed laptop thefts and break-ins of where people have actually lost personal health information, other types of information over a number of years.
You know, what's interesting about your background, if you go to the CMS site and you read your background, Tony, you've worked with HIPAA in the past. I mean, it's you know,
absolutely
been there, done that. You pull that arrow out of the quiver and go, well, as a matter of fact, I was there in the early days of HIPAA, and here's what they wanted,
right.
You know?
Well, and I think the challenge of one of the things that HIPAA talks about is putting in processes and procedures and training in place, because a lot of what happens with security is related to failures to execute processes that are already there. So we can attempt to secure it in a lot of different ways by encrypting data and doing other types of things. But if the due diligence isn't done at the end user point, often it becomes an opportunity to compromise data.
That's interesting. I had Vince Cerf in the studio here. We talked about security. He said, as a matter of fact, he was the guy who came up with, the Internet Protocol. And it's interesting to have someone like you in the studio, and you can say, well, as a matter of fact, I know what HIPAA is, and this is kind of strengths and weaknesses we can have, and this is how a mobile strategy should be deployed. And then the folks in your business enterprise group can take advantage of that information,
right,
and try to apply it.
Yeah, and I think the whole thing about whether it's mobile or not, John, one of the things, I embrace new technologies because I find that any technology change is going to create security problems. It's going to create workforce usage problems. It's going to create potential for abuse and misuse. The key is to take what the technology is and utilize it in ways that you minimize the risk. But it's always a risk management type of equation when you're looking at this type, whether it's moving to a new web application or even how you protect data behind your firewall at work.
We only have 2 minutes left in the interview here, and I'm going to ask you a 20-hour question. So, so this will be a challenge for you here.
Okay.
Get out the crystal ball here, Tony. And what's going to happen in the next 5 years at CMS? Where do you see it heading? Just in general, what direction do you see the world of IT taking and specifically in the area of healthcare IT?
Well, I think it's going to take a lot of changes that have already started, and they're just going to continue over the next number of years. So data being used to support payment reform, data being used to support clinical quality improvements, changes in how we do business through mobility and other types of social media. I think what it's going to be in terms of an IT standpoint is we have to become more flexible, more agile. We have to be looking ahead and working closely with our business partners and stakeholders in the community and look at how we can meet our overall goals that relate to health reform and the other priorities that this administration and future administrations will have. So that the challenge is it's like the tail of the comet. We're going to continue to have fee-for-service claims-based processing for a number of years, but we're evolving into these new ways of doing business. So you've got to support the old ways of doing business while you move towards the new ways. So it's for people who are looking at CMS as a career, I think it offers a lot of challenges and opportunities to really do things differently and to do things in innovative ways. We talk a lot with some of our colleagues in other industries and even in other parts of the healthcare industry, and they're really amazed at some of the things we do at CMS and the scale we do it.
So I think the lesson here is that if you're interested in a career in healthcare IT and you're interested in your own future, I mean, you can go to CMS and then be part of your future with efficiently using some of these recommendations we talked about today.
Absolutely.
Great. I have to end the interview here. I'm afraid it's all over, but I got 20 more questions. Maybe sometime in the future we'll get you back in the studio here. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Tony Trankel, CIO at CMS. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, John.
been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.